See, Chris counts for me.
1, 2, 3, 4. It's Liz and Ryan.
Hi.
Not Chris and Cody. We're the fun ones.
Oh my God.
They're sitting right next to us. So, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Spoils of Akron podcast. My name is Ryan Dyke, and I am joined today by one...
Liz Tyron.
And this here is a show about the art, culture, and the eccentric residents of the Rubber City. And sometimes we get new residents here in the Rubber City, and I am so proud to present a new citizen here in Akron. Mr. Roger Riddell, how are you doing? Riddle. Is it Riddle or Riddell?
I feel so fancy when you call me Riddell.
Mr. L. Riddell is here.
That's what you call him when he's wearing his tuxedo.
It's Riddle, right? It's Riddle, right?
Yes, it's Roger Riddell.
Has that been like a problem your entire life? Have people
have
always said Riddell?
We have to cover the name.
Well, yeah. There's Riddell, and then there's also Rabbit. People just call me Roger Rabbit.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I'm going to start calling that. So, Rabbit. no, so like, has that really been a problem? Like, teachers, anybody, like supervisors, bosses, like has anybody like never just gotten it and like been like, hey, it's Riddle, okay, people?
No,
come on now.
Normally I just kind of say, hey, it's Riddle, and then people say, oh, okay, and that's the end of it. But every now and then I get a few people who call me Riddell, and I'm serious when I say, like, a lot of people just kind of,
I'm one of them,
as they're speaking fast, we'll say,
I just did it.
No, I'm talking about the Rabbit. I get Roger Rabbit more than I get Roger Riddell.
Really?
Yes.
That's kind of crazy.
I was gonna ask if it was real. I was seriously, before we did this, thinking I could research, I could look up his name, I was gonna ask you to bring a birth certificate, a couple pieces of identification.
We're gonna put it into Google and have Google pronounce it for us.
But I wanted to get to the bottom of it. Like, is that actually your name? You were just given this comic superhero name,
or
villain name, really. I don't know.
The Riddler.
That is my real name.
Busting out the license.
Oh my gosh. All right, check it.
Cool.
Take a picture of it.
I got a
post it on our Facebook
interview
page.
Oh, I don't have any pockets.
Well, Mr. Riddle. Oh, I want to check this out too.
He made me give
this
it
is a
back.
Great picture. That is a good picture. My picture is terrible. I like had just gotten off work.
Did
and
that say Dallas?
No, that was.
It said
was
something
that Dallas?
About Dallas.
What did it say?
It said the word Dallas, I saw it.
Did it?
On your license.
No, I don't think so.
Yes, it did. I know it did.
So,
maybe that was the street name or something.
Maybe.
It wasn't.
So, Mr. Riddle, we like to ask questions for people who are guests here on the Spoils of Akron podcast. And one that we have to ask Mr. Roger Riddell. Dang it. Roger. I always say, okay, wait. I planned this. Cody, don't look at me. Roger Riddle me this. Why?
Okay, but I do hear that a lot.
that
is something that
we
I hear
ask
a
that.
Whole lot.
Okay, well, here's the first question we like to ask people is, why Akron? Now, for you, we kind of already know because we know a certain Mr. Chris Horn, but why don't you explain and tell us how you got to our little city?
Okay, so Chris Horn is a really good friend of mine. Of course, if Chris Horn moved from Macon to Akron, he then started the Devil Strip. He's the publisher of the Devil Strip. And then he received a Night Cities challenge to start the Unbox Akron project. So he was already doing the Devil Strip, and you know, the Unbox Akron idea came along, and he contacted me and said, hey, I got this great idea, and I just received some funding for it. Would you be interested in coming up here for this? And I've been living in Macon. Chris and I were roommates years and years ago.
Really? Like, how long have you two known each other?
Probably getting on 10 years.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And so.
Shared many a drunken nights together?
Many a drunken nights together. And I had already kind of been thinking about, I wanted to do something different. Wasn't sure what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go, but I had become complacent in Macon and was kind of running out of ideas to do and things to do. And he gave me an opportunity, and I was like, sure. And I had already committed to the move before I even saw Akron. So I
was going to say, had you ever been here before? You hadn't.
I had already committed. We went to a conference in Detroit for the Night Cities grant that he won.
Right.
And that was in June. but I think I committed probably back in April.
Wow.
Said like, hey, I'll take that. I'm on my way. But that June, after we finished the conference in Detroit, I actually came down to Akron for the first time. But by that time, I already knew I was coming. So I hadn't seen it. I was just on his word that
right.
It was a cool place and there were cool people here.
But I mean, after 10 years of a friendship and being roommates with someone, you get to know them pretty well. And he knew
and
this
would
be. I
didn't like him that much.
Yeah.
Like you said, 10 years of living with somebody, you know exactly.
Yeah. But like that, you trust him.
Oh, we
him
should
enough.
Ask him questions about Chris.
We should ask
him.
This is actually the reason why we had you on. We just wanted to know everything about Chris Horn. That's all. We just wanted to know.
So I hope he won't care.
I don't think he would. I really don't think he would.
So Chris and I drank a lot of whiskey. In Macon, Georgia, that's what you drink. You drink whiskey. There's tons and tons of whiskey.
Okay.
And we were on the hunt. We were broke. And we were on the hunt for the best cheap whiskey we could find. And that whiskey turned out to be Benchmark 8.
Okay.
And now years have gone by. We've become much older people,
much more sophisticated,
right? Like we've gotten real jobs. We, you know, we have an income. Chris now has a wife and a kid and a
yes.
house. And I go over his house and he breaks out a bottle of Benchmark 8. And I hadn't drank any Benchmark in probably 4 years or more. And I was like, "What are you doing, man? Did you buy something nice? Something nice in your house?" He was like. It was like it all hit him at once. It was like, oh yeah.
Oh, he didn't. I thought it was a joke for old time's sake. But
no,
he actually just went there because that was like your old go-to.
Right.
He
never
and he
stopped
didn't even
drinking
think twice.
It.
Oh god!
I had long since moved into better whiskeys and refined my taste. I was so shocked.
So we all need to get. We know what to get Chris for his birthday.
You just looked at Chris. He's like, you uncultured swine. What are you doing drinking that?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was in shock that he was still drinking that cheap whiskey.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I actually shot gin with that man, which is who shoots gin. That would be nobody. So we did for that reason.
Oh, my gosh.
And he said that was really rough. He said, I don't know if it's gin specifically or clear alcohol, but I mean, it was great. It was fine for me. I didn't have any problems, but he said that he was feeling a little rough later on that night
I'm
or the
sure
next
he
morning.
Was.
I mean, we didn't do shot after shot. It was one shot, but then there was, you know, beer going on and stuff. It was after our first softball game.
A chaser or something, you know.
Over at Ray's Pub, and, you know, we were going to do a shot, and we didn't know what, and I had a taste for gin. But nobody shoots it, so I was just like, you know, I feel like gin or something, which I have to have a taste for. It's a very distinct, you know, taste, but I don't drink it all the time. And we just said, okay, let's do that. And I liked it, and I don't think he'll ever do it again.
So when you first, so when you got here, you said you came from Detroit, from Akron. You came to Akron for the first time. When you got here, what was one of the first things you saw that really stuck out? Like, I was really thinking about this question today was, you know, growing up in this city, you know, I've seen landmarks. I've been to Canal Park since I was a little kid, and now I've seen it transform, and, you know, the whole Wright Field is different, and they got the Tiki Bar set up. And, like, I mean, that's just a bad example. But, like, when you first got here, was there anything that really stuck out to you?
That trip... That visit, I was here for, I think, like 4 days.
Okay.
And I didn't get outside of Highland Square and downtown that much. So the thing that stood out to me on that trip was probably the Highland Theater.
Oh, I love that theater.
It is. It's classic architecture. It's an Art Deco theater.
It was beautiful. And then Chris was like, hell, you know, it's a bar in there. And the movies are $5. And they show, I think at the time, Jurassic World was showing there. So I was just like, oh, you know, that's really cool. And now I live around the corner from the theater. And I saw both Ant-Man and the Fantastic Four.
Okay,
there.
You know what? Except for Fantastic Four, I also went. Cody and I also went and saw Jurassic World, and we saw Ant-Man there, too.
I saw Ant-Man there.
I just love that theater.
It's great.
I love old history. I love old history and buildings and architecture. I would love to go look at, like, old stuff, like old buildings. I love that. And, like, just sitting in the Highland Square Theater, you just feel the history. Like, you just feel... Because you know there used to be stage theater. It has a big stage up in front.
I was looking at that. I was wondering, like, why they don't do concerts there.
I think it I've was thought recently.
About, I've thought about hosting parties and events and things there.
Well, it was just,
because it's still got a dance floor.
Yeah, right, right. So it has a front, an open area up front. Right. Now, Chris, help me out here. Chris and Cody are here, but
I actually
from what I've heard, it's new ownerships. It's a new ownership. And am I correct on that, Chris? Shake your head, yes or no.
I don't know. From
what I remember, it is, because I think it was going to be demolished. I think it was going to get, yeah, Chris is, I know he's Googling it right now, and I'm just going to rant on, but I believe it was going to be destroyed or bulldozed and another building put in its place. And I think it was bought by some new owners, and this is, like I said, this could all be bullcrap, but I'm so glad they saved that building.
I love that theater.
And how can you get, you can't pass up the fact that their snack bar and bar area is called the China White Lounge.
Right, and I love the neon thing. Sign itself makes it, right?
Right.
And that, if it was previously owned by somebody, I do know they were having, like, financial problems, in a sense. I know it was very, very, very expensive, say, to heat the theater in the winter time, because it's such a big old space.
It is, yeah.
So things like that, those utilities were really taking their toll. And I had spoken to them once about it a little bit. I think, like I said, I wanted to have some kind of party or event there, and it was really, really expensive. And for them to turn the heat on and actually heat it up in the winter was a big deal. So, you know, there were those issues, and if they've been resolved or if there's new owners that were able to
Well, I see Chris pulled
it,
up a Google article. What does it say?
Breaking news.
Breaking news from cinematreasures.org.
Cinematreasures.org.
Don't even know what the site is, but it says it was open in 1938.
Wow.
March 31st, and then it fell into disrepair and disuse probably during the, like, post-rubber industry, you know, decline we experienced in 2000. It said it was rescued and restored, according to this site. So that kind of works with when the movies came back there. But I remember there being the occasional concert there in the 90s, back when I was a youngster. So bands did play there. And
wow.
Played there in the past.
And, yeah, and if I'm wrong, I could be totally wrong, but my dad, you know, he grew up here. And, like, we used to go to the Barberton Magic Theater, or I think that's Lake Cinema. What is that? Lake 8? Lake 8. And it's a movie theater right in downtown Barberton, and it's right on Lake, kind of like close to Lake Anna. That's why they call it Lake 8. But it's got this giant, and now that I think about it, I saw Jurassic Park 3 there. And do you remember the Velociraptor scenes where, like, you know, they surround you and you can just hear them running through the grass? Right. It was only my sister and my mother and myself sitting in this giant freaking theater and, like, surround sound.
And you were the only ones that was, like, the
and
Velociraptor
I was, like,
there's
Velociraptors in this theater right now. And when we went and saw Jurassic World again, it, like, took me back to seeing Jurassic Park in old Lake 8 cinema. Like, I love, and that whole little block right there of Highland Square. It's just blooming and blossoming, and so much cool stuff's happening down there. Porch Rockers coming up.
Yes.
Porch Rockers coming up at the end of this month, thanks to a whole crew, including Shane Wynn, who we interviewed a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
They're busy organizing that. And what is it, the 28th, everybody?
29th.
Takes place in the neighborhood, and who knows, maybe your street's part of it. You said you live right by the theater.
I am on South Portage Path, so I don't quite know where everything is happening, Porch Rocker, yet.
I think it's right around there. But, I mean, if you live down there, then you
last year it was on both sides of Market Street, so.
I think it's down there.
It extends, you know, it's a pretty here, there, everywhere, all around Highland Square thing now.
But you're, like, right there. You're, talk about, like, Kristen just, like, asked you to come to Akron. He, like, stuck you in, like, an apartment, like, on the outskirts of town. He stuck you right in the...
He didn't stick me anywhere.
I was going to say, how did you find your residence? Or are you staying with Chris till something?
No, I,
Roomies again.
I would feel so sorry for Heather and Maddie if
she had to put up with the two of us together.
There would be benefits. They have a built-in babysitter. I'm sure there would be something, you know, reciprocal going on there.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess so. But so I actually got that apartment. I didn't see it. I rented the apartment without seeing it. There was another apartment that I found on Craigslist that was for rent, and I contacted the person managing it, and they said, "Oh, somebody's got it already, but we got this 2-bedroom. It's above the offices." Well, and I was like, "I'll take it." And they were like,
"That sounds great."
And by this time,
it has no bathroom.
I was in Macon. I was already back in Macon because I couldn't get in touch with them while I was here. And so I rented it, didn't see it. And the whole point was we drove past where the first apartment that I saw the listing for it, and I saw where it was. It's like half a block away from the Mustard Seed.
Okay.
And so I was just like, man, this is incredible. I'll live there. And I got there, and it wasn't exactly – I probably would not have rented the apartment.
Oh, I was going to ask you. Tell the truth. What's the outcome?
I probably wouldn't have rented the apartment if I had seen it. I'd looked for something else. But I also – I don't feel bad about it because it's in a great neighborhood and the rent is incredibly cheap.
Yes.
So, you know, it's going to become part of your story, and it's affordable for the move sake of, hey, just starting fresh somewhere.
And it's not like I don't know enough people to think like I'm throwing the social dinner parties of the year or anything like that.
What do you have, like a 1-year lease agreement right now?
Right.
So in a year, you're going to have a bigger, badder, fancier place, and we're all gonna be invited. We're all gonna have a party.
You're gonna wear
your tuxedo. You're gonna be Roger Riddell.
Yeah.
You're gonna have it like furnished
Roger
by
Riddell. Roger, excuse me.
You're gonna get it furnished Riddell. By Shadell.
It's Riddell now. I'm so sorry. Get that man out of my apartment now. Get him out of my loft. Well, speaking of that.
But they'll still drink, what was it? Benchmark 8.
Right, it'll be nothing but Benchmark 8. Nothing but the finest for you all.
You should have told us it's this high-end whiskey from Macon. You can only get it in Macon. We would have believed you. We wouldn't have known.
We would not have known. We'd have been like, this sounds
amazing.
Some
people would have known, but, you know, we'd come to your house and you'd be serving that and we'd be like, wow.
It's funny. I remember.
We feel so special.
I worked in the restaurant industry for the last.
Are you a chef?
No.
Serving then? Or?
I was a. When I left coming up here, I was in marketing for a restaurant group. And then prior to that, I was a bartender for years and years. So I doing just kind of research on all of the different things that we were doing as a company. I remember looking at a list of the best cheap whiskeys, and sure enough, Benchmark 8 had made like the top 10 list of every list that I found.
You should have said it was number one. It's the number one cheap whiskey.
You have that.
I'm inspired. I think we should walk over to the bar
and see if they have some Benchmark 8
random bottles. No, let's see what you can mix up right now for us.
I was going to say, you have that bartender vibe about you. You have like that type of personality where you can just sit down and talk with you. Like,
very
you just,
chill.
Yeah, very just chill and hang out and just shoot the shit with you.
You seem like you could put up with pretty much anybody. Like,
I guess so. Yeah, and maybe that does come from bartending. That also comes from marketing. You need to be able to talk about...
Be a people person.
Right, anything. And the weird thing is I'm actually probably... I'm really a kind of shy person and would probably rather be to myself. But at the same time, I've managed to keep picking jobs that put me in front of lots of people.
That's kind
of
cool. It's almost like a personal goal of yours, like, but it's like an untold personal goal where like you even said yourself, like, sometimes I think I'm more shy, but like these past couple of jobs, and you're now on a podcast that's going to be listened to by thousands of people. And
Oh my God.
It also means you'll never be annoying. Cause like, you know, those high energy marketing people or whatever, they're, oh, I was born to do this. And they're all in your face. And
but you had to learn how to do it.
And they drive you crazy. Right. Mm-hmm. But like someone chill like yourself, but who has, you know, the intelligence and the connection with people who can actually do it. Like, hey, this is my job. I have to do this. Maybe not what I thought I was born to do, but like then it's just very sort of engaging. And I think that makes people, you know, you're almost like, I don't know, going to make somebody want, you know, something more if they don't feel it's forced upon them, and you have that sort of laid back attitude. Hmm. That's a skill, even if you don't know it. Like, it's just the idea of the sort of unforced sale, you know.
Well, some stuff I'd like for you to check out. Let me run some stuff.
Oh, he brought a bag, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you selling to me right now?
Let's see. What has he got?
This whole podcast was so that I could sell to you.
Well, speaking of selling, you need to sell to your community, your new community here, what your project is all about. I mean, we talked a little bit about why you came and what Chris, you know, wanted you to do.
And how you came.
That's the Unbox Akron project. But while we're familiar, you tell everybody about Unbox Akron, which Chris, you are now responsible for. Is that correct? For heading?
I am. I have the coolest title that I've ever had in my working
Laid
career.
On us.
Did you give it to yourself?
No, I did not. This came from Chris.
Who does
it
that?
I wish I had the opportunity to make up a job title for myself. I'll be like, well, no, I'd just be a wizard, I'm sure. But
yes,
I am Unbox Akron's chief curator.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah. So
that's cool. Say nice. It again.
Chief Roger curator. Riddle, chief curator, Unbox Akron.
Wow. Do you get business cards?
Bam.
Not yet.
I'm working on it. He's getting business
but
cards.
I will get some business cards and I can't wait to hand them out. Hey, how are you? Roger Riddle, chief curator. I'm laid back. I'm laid back. Don't worry.
On the back, there'll be an ad for that whiskey.
Sponsored by Benchmark 8.
Well, it's a great project. It's funded by the Knight Foundation, so obviously some people
they see some potential in it.
They awarded, what, $52,000, am I right, in March?
Sounds good to me.
For the project. Then I have to give credit. Shane Wynn, who had named it, there was a sort of an awards ceremony and all that fun stuff in the back of Pub Rico at the theater there. And Chris talked a little bit about it, and then he recruited you. Now, I know the monies were awarded on March 30th, if I'm not mistaken. When he asked you to come, was that after that awards ceremony?
It had to have been after that, I think. In March, I had made a trip to Detroit to visit my family, and when I got back to Macon, it was shortly after that, and that was towards the end of March. So it had to been. I remember it being the end of March, early April, that Chris and I were first talking about this, and he was just kind of like, "Hey, I got something, and let me talk with you." So it had to have been after he already knew that. You know, it was going down. It was going to happen.
When he first talked to you about it, how did he explain it? You know, do you remember like how Chris explained it to you, and what about the project drew your interest?
Early on, what I remember is that Chris was contacting me about doing. He was just kind of bouncing ideas off of me about doing a subscription box of some kind, and this was even before he had submitted his proposal for Unbox Akron. And we talked about doing a writer's box, a box for authors, people who write, be it
scripts,
novels, screenplays, anything. If you were a writer of any sort, we were kind of like, well, what would a writer, if they had a subscription box, what would be in a box for a writer? And we were just kind of playing ideas. That's something that we do a lot. We'll talk to each other and we'll say like, oh, what if we did this or what if we did that? So I didn't think anything about it. I don't remember him saying anything more about it until he called me and said, hey, I'm a finalist for this grant. And I was like, oh, really? Okay. And so, and he was just kind of like, it's a box and you get Akron stuff. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. And I think even still, by the time he was a finalist, I don't think that I was really considering a move. It all happened after my visit to Detroit, and I got back to work. And I've been kind of frustrated with Macon, and it all just hit at the right time. He was saying, well, hey, you know, I want it. I got it. Would you be interested? And then I was like, yes, I'll do it. Yes. And, you know, I was just excited to do anything new. So it didn't really matter to me. And
good job, Macon. You gave up another one.
Yeah, so you say you have family in Detroit. Did you grow up in Detroit and then move to Macon?
Right.
I did live in Detroit.
Born and raised
right?
in Detroit.
Yeah.
And I went to Macon in 98.
Okay.
And I was in Macon. I was in Middle Georgia. I spent a few years in a small town called Milledgeville, and then I was in Macon. I think I was in Macon for 15 years, 17 years total in Middle Georgia. And then now I came up here. And woo-hoo! The idea for Unbox Akron has evolved quite a bit from probably what you all first heard from Chris.
Okay.
Right. So where's it at now? Or tell people, generally speaking, what it is. You mentioned a subscription box.
So
you mentioned that Chris said it's going to be with things about Akron. But tell us beyond that more specifically and what it's become.
Okay. The idea is that it's something like Birchbox or Loot Crate, and you know, you pay your subscription and each month you get a box full of cool stuff.
Yeah.
And this is Akron based cool stuff. This is stuff that would appeal to an Akronite. And so we don't want it to just be kind of like, we don't want it to be an Akron version of Groupon.
Right.
But the idea was that we want you to be proud of Akron. So we want you to buy locally made products. We want you to shop at locally owned small businesses. We want you to get out and go to events that are here in Akron. You know, you don't need to go to Cleveland when there's cool things that are happening here that mm-hmm. maybe you aren't aware of. But the more we talked about this, the more we were kind of like, if you are subscribing to this box, you're probably an ambassador for the city. You love the city. You're already gung-ho for the city. And you understand, like, the things that are in here are cool because you love them.
Right.
So
you may even be a part of it.
Right, exactly. Right. So more than it being just what's in the box, now we started to say, like, okay, well, now we're going to get together a group of people, and how do we get these people together and like get all of the ambassadors together so that they understand they are part of something special and that they have this great idea of what Akron is. We want them to be able to project it even further to people who aren't like them and draw more people in. Because if more people are ambassadors for the city, you know, the city starts to bubble and build and ideas come about, and then you're kind of feeding all of this back into itself and we start to see change. And so
there's an overall mission for this as well. It's not just to provide something cool for those who are interested and want to subscribe, but there's also something bigger and bigger on the horizon and something, a goal you're shooting towards. Yeah. You're actually creating something that's really to be determined at this point,
right,
where this will lead.
So one of the things we wanted to do with kind of what you're saying is, We decided we were going to curate some special events, some events that are just for the subscribers of Unbox Akron and for the people
that's a neat idea
who support the idea itself. And so we're going to say, okay, well, you get this ticket, you pull it out of the box, and you're kind of like, what is this? You know, it's saying I need to be here at this time on this day. You know, it gives you enough information to get you interested in going, but it doesn't necessarily tell you what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, you've decided, like, wow, I don't know what this is, but I want to go. And you get there, and it's something out of the ordinary. It's a special event and now you're surrounded by these other people who are just like you that love Akron as well. And we're going to put you in a situation that's a lot of fun that you wouldn't have expected. One of the things that I want to do is, and I've been kind of talking with some people around town, one of the ideas is to do concerts in some of the unused and abandoned buildings around town. As a way of saying, like,
idea.
Hey, you know, look what this space could be. And, you know, even dealing with the Summit County Historic Society to say, hey, what's the history behind this space? So you learn a little about the space and the area.
I love this idea.
As well as you go in there and you're having a good time and, you know, you're just having fun. I want to, forgive me, I haven't been here long enough to know the names of everything, but there's a freeway that's shutting down.
Get it right.
What's it called?
The Inner Belt.
Yeah.
So 59. I was down in Miami back, I think back in February, and was just kind of wandering around downtown trying to find something to do. And I hear this music playing off in the distance, and I happen to recognize the song. And I'm a huge record collector, so it's a song that not many people play. And I was like, oh my God, what is that? And I started walking towards it, and I was like, where's this coming from? And then the song changed, and there was like a Barry White song playing. And I was like, oh my God, like, what's going on here? And I keep walking, and I walk up on an outdoor roller rink. and there was a DJ set up, and there were people roller skating around the fountain, awesome. And like the DJ is playing all this.
This is in Miami.
This is in Miami.
So that's a fun idea, but we can't do that here in the wintertime. We couldn't have them like in the But this is going. That's very inspiring.
One of the things that I've kicked around and I've kind of talked to some people, but it's not gone far yet, is that come next spring, once it starts to warm up,
mm-hmm.
I want to do that same thing on the inner belt after it's already been...
Naked roller skating on the inner belt.
I'm surprised.
We cannot just steal Miami's idea. You have to, like, make it your own. You have to tweak it.
We could have done it, like, we'll to, like, 90s music or something. We didn't have
we'll
to take our clothes off.
We'll get the famous photographer that photographs all the groups of naked people, and we'll... put everybody on roller skates. Okay.
I don't want to roller skate naked. What if I fall over?
That's not what you were thinking. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This is a terrible idea.
There's a soul skate group in Akron, and ooh. I don't know if you know what soul skating is, but you should look it up. Like there's.
I have no idea what is this?
Soul skate is.
It's got to like soul music. Like that sounds so fun.
But the deal is like these guys dance
like
on
disco?
Wheels. No, like you should if you get a chance.
Where are they based out of? Where are they at?
They're here in Akron. There's a group like. In the Midwest,
okay.
This is a thing that happens. Like there are groups of people. They get together and they do this thing called soul skate.
Are you one of them?
No, I am not. I wish.
Are you secretly like, one of them?
These people are acrobatic almost in what they can do on a pair of skates and with soul music playing. And there's a big event that happens every 2 years around Memorial Day up in Detroit, and it's just called Soul Skate. And they pull them from all across the Midwest.
People would be all about this here.
Yes. You should look it up. It is absolutely incredible. I'll send you a link to a video.
So let me ask you this. Are you talking about making an annual event happen? Or do you want an ongoing thing? Like maybe this takes place.
Pull it off
uh-huh.
one time and yeah. see what the response is. But I want to track down Akron Soul Skate Group because I want them to be a part of it. I want them to.
They're probably listening. Just go ahead and just shout out to them right now.
One time for the 303 skaters, wherever you are. I'm looking for you.
Maybe.
Oh my goodness.
Busted.
Edit that part out.
He called us welcome out.
Hey, wait a minute. Everybody stop.
Welcome to the Spoils of Akron podcast.
We are back. By the way, Roger, tell the folks out there, what
Mr.
is the
Riddell,
area code
so
in
how
Akron?
Are you?
the 330, the skaters, the soul skaters, wherever you are, I'm looking for you. I'm going to find y'all eventually. I'm going to come hang out with you and see you do your thing at the roller rink.
I was going to say, where do they currently do their thing?
I'm not sure.
We may have a little roller dance party here in Musica now. I'm inspired. Your idea happens, I want them to come visit us.
Where do the Rubber City Roller Girls, they're at the John S. Knight Center, correct?
Oh, see, and I need to get them involved as well. Like they would be fun to have out there as
they're
well.
They're an awesome group. Yeah. So there's potential for what you're saying to have like different roller skating formats, themes, groups, you know, if they could turn it into an, you know, obviously when the weather permits, a seasonal thing for different roller skating parties, you know, the dancing group you're talking about.
The first thing is kind of, can we do
it? Roller hockey.
Can we make it happen?
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, see, you all are taking it much further than I am. But
all right, so Roger, thank you for the idea. Cody. We're going to...
The 500 plates event is... possibly going to take place on the inner belt. That is an idea that
they
have for that. Yes. So the idea of turning that into a functional outdoor space as opposed
cool
to just
would that be?
Ripping it out.
The idea behind Hunter Franks is the gentleman behind 500 Plates.
I'm the downtown ambassador.
Oh, are you?
For the project. Like,
oh, that's right. You did an awesome salsa, didn't you?
Yeah.
I did a drunken salsa. How did you know that?
I know everything.
Damn.
Except for the area code.
I forgot who we're talking about. He's going to start to know everything. His little mind is going to start to infiltrate because that's his job.
Like, you know, at the beginning when we were talking about where he lived, he already knows
he's
where we all live.
He's
going
to infiltrate all the cultural aspects. Yeah, what? I feel like he's spying
so
on me.
We are honestly... there's a way of looking at what's going to happen with the inner belt and how do you imagine what that space should be used for once it's been reclaimed. You don't want it to just sit there unused. Yeah. And the idea that Hunter Frank and the creative interventionists are doing is a great way of starting to imagine what is this place going to be. And my idea was the same thing. how do you look at this and say, how do we make this fun? And those are some of the things that we want to tackle with Unbox Akron, is look at some small problem and figure out a very fun way to draw attention to the small problem, and maybe not necessarily solve the problem, but give an option and get people to thinking about it. How do you...
It's almost like a doctor getting a second opinion. It's almost like a doctor like bringing in another doctor to give his opinion on like how or what to do for the patient. Like you're saying there's a small thing happening and you guys want to try to help it and fix it. And instead of you guys just trying the same thing over and over and over again, you're bringing in other people and bringing in new people. And with Unbox Akron, you're bringing in a lot of people to try to fix it.
He's even wearing mint green, which is a very scrub color, mint green.
Like are you a doctor?
Scrubs as in the clothing. He's got that color.
I'm a doctor of love.
By coincidence. Dr. Love over
Dr.
here.
Dr. Love.
Yeah, you gave me way too much credit there.
I know, I don't really get the metaphor.
You're like a doctor. You're getting the second opinion.
I'll call you Dr. Roger.
I love metaphors.
And I understand what you're saying, that the city's doing what it's doing, downtown yeah. partnership's doing what it's doing, but the idea that they didn't bring anybody in, you know, Chris and but the fact that people are coming from outside, fresh perspectives and fresh ideas are being brought to the table,
yeah.
you know, Hunter's from San Francisco.
That was my metaphor. it wasn't. Okay. Just not your little doctor, Roger. That's not what I meant. Gosh.
We are so stupid. Okay.
So dumb.
So the idea of the Unbox Akron project is a combination of tangible items that can be found around Akron that people will be surprised with if they subscribe to.
And we're also looking at doing some very special items, some things that you'll only get with us.
That's cool. Exclusives.
One of the things
like
that,
some locally commissioned artist type multiples, things like that.
One of the things that I want to do is get with some local artists, and instead of them asking them to create however many pieces of something to go in these boxes, because we imagine our first one, and we hope that our first boxes are going to go out towards the end of September, but we think it's coming up fast, so we hope that's what's going to happen. It may be October, but right now we're still kind of pushing for this end of September deadline.
Do you already have people subscribed?
Well, we have a list of people who want to subscribe, and we'll start to contact them and build up the subscriber list.
Cool.
But we imagine that our first month that we could have around 50 boxes. That's a lot to ask anyone, an artist, to make 50 pieces of something. So what, in turn, I kind of want
to
do...
You know what you need to do. Go ahead. But I have an idea. Go ahead.
Is to get a print... and get the rights to use that print, duplicate that print in
the form of
like magnets or buttons.
That's a good idea.
Or even t-shirts.
Well, or I was going to say, focus on mediums or artists who can produce things, you know, that actually can produce, you know, multiples of something. So say a fabricator or something like that, where there's like, you know, they're cutting something out of metal or wood or something like that, and there's layers to it, and they can, you know, okay, do like X amount in one shot. Maybe they're small some things, like little sculptural flat pieces of metal. Does that make sense? So maybe focus on or put a call out to artists who can actually do that. And then maybe down the road, things can evolve into, you know, maybe there will be other options or ways or artists that can take part somehow. But maybe that would be a good way to start. Because it doesn't have to be art doesn't have to be incredibly horribly time consuming and difficult, even though it can be, and a lot of good art is. In some cases, for instance, there's Klaus Oldenburg, right? Makes the giant
he's new. Oh, he's not from
Klaus Akron? Oldenburg is like worldwide.
See, I'm the dummy now.
No, you're fine. No, if you've ever been to Cleveland and you saw the big free stamp upside
down. I've
never
been there.
Shut up.
Just kidding.
This is the first time he's been outside of his house. No, so Klaus Oldenburg is known for taking everyday objects and making sculptures of them in an extremely large form.
Did you know that, Roger?
So
Klaus Oldenburg, he's the gentleman that did the balloon art, the metallic...
I'm not sure about that. I don't know of any balloon art, but that doesn't mean he didn't do it.
Okay.
He's done, you know, like
Klaus,
like at the museum, you might see a huge in its modern art.
Oh, it's the spoon with the cherry. That's him.
Yes, there you go. That's him.
Yeah,
or a huge tube of toothpaste spoon that takes up like, you know, 15 feet. Big things that are everyday to us.
Cool.
In a very big form, very colorful, very pop. So anyway, he did a series of multiples once on a much smaller scale from what he's usually used to working with. He did these cardboard cutouts of pretzels. So, you know, people can commission him, and I think he did wedding cake slices for a wedding one time. Now, obviously, these were very wealthy people that commissioned this famous artist to make these wedding cake slices. Or
could you eat it?
No. They were.
This is a waste of
wedding cake.
No, there was a real cake at the wedding. I would imagine.
Like did he make that?
No, but
that's not a wedding cake.
No, shut up!
It's like a wedding magnet.
If you had like a, I don't know what it was, if it was plastic or fiberglass or what he used, but if you had a triangular slice of wedding cake sculpture, okay,
made by a famous artist,
you would not be rolling your eyes at it. You'd be
right.
Like,
that's quite the wedding gift.
So those were like, right, those were their little take home.
I have a question.
My point is, he made these pretzels out of cardboard, right? So a very simple material, and he just cut out these, you know, with the little holes and stuff, and it was corrugated cardboard, and I mean, not anybody could just make that and then people are going to care. But my point is, you know, he made it so people cared and it became this series of multiples. And one of my art history professors had one of these cardboard pretzels and passed it out. And it was really cool for us to get to hold it and check it out. But if an artist did that and it, say, was cardboard and it had something to do with, say, Acre, maybe there were these little cardboard-shaped energy domes because it was thick. It was like 3 or 4 layers of corrugation, right, of the cardboard. So they were kind of like maybe an inch high. They're kind of thick. So let's say they did that of like an energy dome and they had it painted red with, you know, the detail, the black to make the little steps on it. But and it's a series of multiples and it's only available that one time through that box. So like only 50 people forever from a particular local artist are going to have these Devo energy domes made, and maybe they'll have like a little something edition sticker on the back of them. So I'm just saying it doesn't have to be crazy expensive. It doesn't have to be crazy complicated, but maybe just, you know, sometimes less is more and make it exclusive.
So
and cool and specific to Akron.
One of the things that I wanted to do kind of in mind of what you had was I want to get an artist commissioned to do a piece like a salad from Luigi's, because when I got here, I ordered a salad with cheese at Luigi's, and this bowl of cheese came out.
You were like, "Where's the lettuce?"
Almost instantly, I was like, "Man, I wish
I could get some salad with my cheese."
No, I honestly looked at it and I was so dumbfounded by what was in front of me and I was like, "This is quite obviously such an Akron thing." And Chris was sitting across from me, laughing at me by the look on my face, and I was like, "I really want an artist to do a rendition, like the artist rendition of the Luigi salad, and somehow put that in a box." That's one of the things that I want to do.
Yeah, like little pieces of white yarn for the cheese or something cool. You know, it can be crafty and it can be cool, but it could be totally, you know, just that one time. And
yeah.
So I have a question. Liz, you're on a break. Like Loot Crate does, and other subscription boxes that I know of, they have themes for their months. So, like, last month, I think, for Loot Crate, it was villains. And then the month before that, it was space. And then they do Firefly and Star Trek and Star Wars, and they put all this nerdy stuff about space. Is Unbox Akron having themes? Or like, from month to month, do you guys think you'll do that? Or maybe just to start out, it'll just be general items? And then is that something you guys have even thought of yet?
We've kicked it around. We aren't exactly sure how to make it happen yet, and I think at least the first few boxes are probably not going to be so much themed.
Okay.
Like, the theme is going to be Akron. But one of the things that we've thought about doing is by doing them by neighborhood.
That's
or
cool.
Doing them, like, or having a theme of some sort, but we just haven't quite nailed down.
Like, one of them's food, and then this one you celebrate food in different restaurants.
Right.
Another one is entertainment or theater, or like different movie theaters and the old movie theaters around here, anything like that.
I'm off my break. I like the idea, though.
Did I say you off your break, Liz? Okay, you're off your break.
Since when do I listen to you is what I'm asking myself. Did I actually just listen to you? Oh, my God. So what about the idea of not necessarily going with a theme? I wouldn't worry about that, because that way you get to incorporate each. You know, I think at one of the meetings about Unbox Akron, somebody brought up the idea of and I don't even know, maybe it was me, maybe it was someone else, I can't remember, but I remember the conversation, the idea of appealing to the five senses. And so you've got something involved that involves taste and something involved that involves a scent, maybe a little tiny tea candle from like the Buzz Akron company, the candle company, and maybe it's scented. So and then the experiences obviously can entail all of that as well. But something, you know, so that way, I don't know, you need to focus on a theme so much, but as long as the theme is always Akron and as long as the theme is always going to appeal to each of those senses, could be, because that way you're not limited and you don't feel that pressure, like it's got to fit, oh, we want to do that and this is a good time for that, I'm glad we thought of it, but not, no, it's all supposed to be music based this time or something. And the Devil Strip already, you know, does that, which themes are cool, they make sense, but I feel like that way it'll always be a surprise when someone gets it. If they know that it's a theme, they'll have ideas of what to expect.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
I
think the element of surprise is supposed to be a big part of this, right? That's what I would want.
I agree.
A subscriber.
I agree.
Yeah, don't give them a heads up.
Okay, I won't.
You will know nothing, and you will like it.
That's right. You hear that, Akron?
Liz has spoken. Akron, you hear
us? I was going to theme these boxes, but not now.
All right, so we're coming up on. We got a couple more minutes, so I. Was thinking of questions today that I wanted to ask a new Akronite.
Oh, so there was something that I wanted to say.
Oh.
We talked about like the thing that I things that I saw in Akron that really enjoy.
Yeah,
and
you're so
that
new.
First visit,
you're like a baby.
Was Highland Square. But since I've been here, the one thing that absolutely blew me away, my mind.
This is one of my questions. I'm happy.
Oh my
was
gosh.
The Glendale Steps.
Ooh.
I was just like, oh my goodness, this
They're
is beautiful.
Cool,
and I was just taken aback.
Did you walk up them?
Yes, I did. And it just kept getting cooler.
You know what?
The higher
credit
up I went.
To the volunteers and people who last summer, I believe it was, and I think it was the Keep Akron Beautiful people. I'm sorry if I'm getting that wrong, but I know Karen Starr was part of that team who owns Hazel Tree Interiors. They cleaned that up quite a bit. I mean, there was a lot of overgrowth. And it was no easy task.
No, and it's...
What's that?
They used goats, too.
They used goats?
Oh, someone mentioned that.
One of the goats ran off.
Oh, Chris is saying they had goats graze.
Downtown Akron.
Are you kidding me?
That is incredible.
Is there like...
Did everyone just hear? Can we repeat this so that everyone
okay,
heard?
So apparently last year on this endeavor that Liz is talking about, Chris just told us that they used goats
to
graze and to help with some of the overgrowth. And apparently one of the goats went AWOL and they were chasing it around the streets of Akron. Did they catch it or is
it
still loose?
Did it actually go out on Market
Street? They did catch it. I'm making it much more dramatic than it probably should be, but yeah, they caught it.
Okay.
So, but it was
still
it was a good photo op.
It's
it
running
was,
through
it was
the cemetery.
Wait a minute, it just ran past music just now.
Goats can eat things like poison ivy and stuff. I mean, goats I think can eat all kinds of weeds.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So they brought out, I think they're called urban shepherds. They brought the goats
urban
out.
Shepherds.
Yes, to graze along with the cleanup crew. So yeah, we thought that was.
Well, here's my other question.
The urban shepherd goat should be the new Urban Eats mascot.
That's awesome. You should find the one goat that ran off and just keep it in the Urban Eats.
I love this. Where were the goats brought in from? A local farm or?
Well, the Urban Shepherds. I think it's like a kids group, like almost like a 4-H for inner city.
4-H for inner city. We need to go thank these goats, do we not?
We need to find these goats.
I think it.
We'll be right back, everybody. And
you're going to go find the roller girls. The
soul skate.
Okay, guys. Everyone knows their job. And break. Let's go. And we're back. So
that goat was awesome.
Oh my gosh, those roller girls. Whoa.
They and soul
we had the coolest conversation.
As advertised.
And who knew goats liked Benchmark 8?
I've never seen a goat drink so much before.
Goats drink whiskey, but now we know.
So the Glendale Steps was one thing that you saw. Highland Theater was another. What was, and you talked about Luigi's. Was there any restaurants? You know, you live right around the corner from Mr. Zub's.
Oh, I ate, the very first thing I ate on that visit was Mr. Zub's.
Oh.
Let me see, I've been there twice, and what did I have? I had a turkey Reuben.
Ricky Vaughn.
What's that one?
The Ricky Vaughn. It's the egg and sausage one.
No, I didn't have that.
Rick Deckard.
It's my favorite.
That's what I had.
Rick Deckard.
Yeah.
How did you know?
I love it's all movies. It's all based off movies.
Oh, I know, but like, oh, because he was saying the Reuben. Is that what that's called? I got you.
No. I had the Reuben.
The Rick Deckard is a different one. I don't know what the turkey one is. So
the Decker is the chicken and bacon.
Yes,
and it was really good. It surprised me. I don't eat bacon, and it surprised me that I got it. I didn't realize what I had ordered. I was hungry.
The man from Macon
so
does not eat bacon.
Bit into it and was like, that tastes weird. A couple bites, and I opened it up. It was like
bacon.
Oh. But luckily, Chris Horn was with me. He ate all the bacon.
He devoured it.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
do you not eat any pork or just bacon?
I don't eat pork. I don't eat beef. I'm into birds and water stuff.
Birds and water.
Yeah, like stuff with feathers and
there
stuff that spends
really
a lot of time in water.
There are some pretty ducks in the canal. I don't know.
I'll eat that. You know what? I'll give a snake a try.
Ooh.
Yeah, a goat? I hear there's one around here somewhere.
Yeah, and you know what? Goat is good. I've had goat before and it's good. And if I catch it fresh.
Look out, Urban Shepherds. Roger Rules in town.
All right, any local bands?
He wants to meet you.
Are you into music?
Music.
Okay, you said you collect records. So have you gone out and listened to any local bands? Any that caught your fancy?
I was at the Square Records anniversary birthday party this past
weekend.
Here in Musica. Right.
Yeah.
And it was unique. It was out of the ordinary. There was some experimental stuff going on. There was a bit of a hardcore, and I didn't get a chance to stick around and see the final act. But I know quite a few people told me that they were a pretty well known local band, and I wish I could have stayed for it. But my first time seeing music in Akron set the bar kind of high because it was the Dance Extravaganza event that was here at Musica.
Yeah.
And I was blown away by that. I can't remember the names of the bands that I saw.
I don't know.
Well, that's cool.
Do you remember Liz?
One of them was Pat Carney's band.
Drummer.
Okay, drummer. And I can't remember what the other band was, but I really, really liked
it. I think you're thinking, I do know, it's Dave Rich is in the band that you're thinking of. And, it's going to, wait. Shh. It's almost like an outer space type name or something. It's going to drive me crazy. Mm. I saw them. They are awesome. Or it's a beach name or something. What is it?
A beach or outer space.
Beach or outer space. I saw them live at the Grog Shop in Cleveland. They opened for Dick Dale and both. Like, those guys and, of course, Dick Dale. That was such an awesome show. Ann Lillis is in that band. She's the drummer. And Dave Rich's brother plays bass. So let me see if I'm like, you know, sometimes.
House guests. Yes.
You know, I knew it was either a beach name or an outer space name.
He weren't letting you just rant on. He was looking it up. It
beach name or outer space name. House guests.
It was obviously both. but no, they're so good. I don't know why I was thinking that. Oh, well, they dressed all like outer spacey and weird and cool.
And beachy.
When I saw them in.
They kind of dressed like people that you might find around your house.
I wish you guys.
After a night of Benchmark 8, you wake up like, what's going on out here?
Your house on the beach in space.
So, yeah, I'm really good with band
bikini
names.
Astronauts up in here.
Astronauts. Now I want to have a bikini astronaut.
That's a great band name.
That is a good one.
Bikini astronaut.
Dave's ITM trademark.
You know what?
Mine.
If Dave Rich wants to change the name of his band from House Guest to
bikini astronauts. I also got a chance to hang out with with Wesley Ian a couple of times.
Oh, yeah, Wesley.
Beekeeper Wesley.
Wesley Bright in the Highlights.
The
we
highlights.
Talked
yes.
about him.
We did.
And we played some of his music during
the
podcast.
It was like breaking, like, you know, exclusive.
Oh, so good.
He's got
you
great
all,
voice.
When you all played it on.
Oh, we did, yeah.
Yeah, you got the Spoils
Roger
of Akron exclusive.
We played his.
I'm your biggest fan.
Really?
I think he is. He actually reposted it.
I've listened to two episodes.
Dun. That makes you our biggest fan.
That makes you the biggest fan. It really does.
Ryan got to meet Wesley as well at Maddie's art show.
That's where I met Roger as well.
Oh, okay, you guys met that night.
I was here. Yeah, I was there. That's right. I was at the art show.
I forgot that's where you guys met.
Food,
which is why we ended up talking about him in that other episode.
Food, music, anything else that, you know, we're wrapping up on here. We're wrapping up on time, but is there anything else that you've seen in this city that maybe is unlike Macon, Detroit, or anywhere else that you've been at? You know, we had an episode a couple podcasts ago where we talked about I talked to JT Buck, and he's a local author and writer and composer, and he was talking about how he's grown up here and he's seen the art scene change. Now, someone who's new to the city and, you know, hasn't seen the art change as much because, you know, you're newer, but coming from a different city, what is different about Akron that now that you're here, it's got you hooked?
Well, one of the things that I've really enjoyed art-wise is the Inside Out project. You know, you're just kind of walking down the street and it's like, oh, there's art. So, like, yeah. there's a piece that's outside at the bottom of the Glendale steps right now.
Right.
There's a piece on the mustard seam. When I first visited back in June, there was a piece on the side of Crave that I just absolutely loved. Mm-hmm. And I was actually heartbroken when I walked around the corner when I got down there and it wasn't here.
They did put a piano over there now, though. There's that fun little project.
They did. The music outside, and mm-hmm. I can't play the piano, but I will pretend to play.
Oh, gosh. I don't think it's, you know, supposed to be, like, only for good pianists, Akron. No, it's for everybody. That's such a cool thing.
But the thing that it's probably the most endearing and most exciting for me about Akron is that you all have a great sense of coming together and working. You all team up, you get together. If somebody has a project, if a friend of yours, if somebody else has a project, it seems to me that people in Akron aren't afraid to jump in and do things and to take it on and to be a champion for whatever is going on. And I really appreciate that. That's not something that I'm used to seeing. And I actually got invited to work with some kids at one of the creative learning centers. It was an arts project. It was me, Nicole Mullet, Wesley Ian was there, and Rick Stockburger asked me to do it, and he didn't know me. Like, he friended me on Facebook, and as soon as I said yes, a message popped up, and it was like, I need you to come do this thing. And I was like, okay, unfriend. I hear that's what they do in Akron, so I guess I gotta go. And luckily, he gave me the tour. He was the one that took me to the Glendale Stubbs. And you all have, like, three record stores in town.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I've been to Square Records. I've also been to Calhoun's Records.
Time Travelers?
I haven't been to Time Travelers yet. Time Travelers, I'm coming. I'm coming to you. So
you hear that, Time Travelers?
And I think,
he's coming.
Is there a new one coming somewhere out in Fairlawn? I saw someone posted a picture over the weekend, and there's just a sign in the window right now, and she posted a picture of her little boy looking inside. Allison Kaplan, who works at the art museum, said, don't be worried, Square Records. You know, he's just being curious or something cute like that. We're not cheating on you, but there's, like, a poster for a new record.
Oh, cool.
Store,
oh, sweet.
So
I had not heard that.
Yeah, those are all of the things that so far that I just absolutely love. Like, the idea that I can walk around the corner and go into a record store and from my house, and to know that there are record stores elsewhere across town. And, you know, Calhoun Records, I walked in there and I found two pieces that I've been looking for a long time.
There's also a place in North Akron called Arsenic and Old Lace.
Yes.
And it's like a head shop slash.
Okay.
No, for real, though. But, like, you go upstairs, there's lots of glass, and then, but they have a lot of, they have some old records up there, too.
Sweet.
Like, just one of those random spots you wouldn't think to go
no,
to.
No, no, no. Okay, I have a really funny, quick story about that. Arsenic and Old Lace, it's also a play. It's also the name of a play.
Yeah.
So, Ben Arrington and I, former co-host Ben, who started this podcast with me, we're walking around Better Block that's right there next to Arsenic Old Lace, and we see the sign for Arsenic and Old Lace, and he goes, I was in that play. Come on, Ryan. Let's go up there.
And
we
you
get
go
up
and
there.
And it's like beaded curtains.
And it's like beaded curtains
everything.
And tie-dye and a guy with long hair and a mustache working behind the counter, and I was just like, I don't think this
and
is.
And they're like,
I was like, Ben, I don't think this is where they do the show. And he goes, there's a stage. And I go,
there is a stage. It's
there
a really
is.
Cool. It is a really cool building and a really cool space.
It's like an old house. It's like an old school.
There is a stage up there. It's crazy. But right, Chris is dying
right now. I was like,
right,
Ben, I don't think this
no,
is.
No, that's
we
perfect.
Should get out of here.
When these guys first interviewed me, which is how I met them, I described them. They were telling me how they're in a band and they're going to play at, like, Giant
this
Eagle.
Famous quote.
And I'm like, what band plays at Giant Eagle? What is going on, you know?
And you said, and this is the famous quote from Liz. You said, any place that sells, like, Mentos and brown paper bags, that's the place for you guys. That's
well,
the place
I said
for
you guys
you.
Just have that, like, suburban white boy.
That's
and
what it was, suburban
look
white
about
boy
them.
Look.
And I go, and that's Giant Eagle's demographic, so I get it. Any place that sells Mentos and brown paper lunch bags, that's your crowd.
But
that's these guys walking into Arsenic and Old Lace.
I was like, we shouldn't be in here.
It's almost like a, you know, you have to go upstairs and you don't even quite know, you know, what's going on here.
I will definitely check that out.
Please do. Yeah. I mean, it was cool. It was cool. It was just like it caught us off guard. And Ben was like, I don't think this is where the show is.
Did you guys buy anything?
No.
Be honest.
No.
No, I know you didn't.
I spent $20. I spent like $100.
You were afraid to use the bathroom in there. You left. You didn't buy anything.
I did like, they had like a really cool like hemp sweater. I was like, oh, I like this sweater. I like it. It was like $30, so I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get it.
Well, should we talk about what's coming up in terms of events?
Yes.
Guys, I have a correction. While we correction. Were all talking. A correction to something I said. The goat, the kids who brought the goats out were Jay-Z's Wild Bunch, and it's part of a local 4-H club.
Where
it wasn't Urban
Shepherds.
Well, that's another program.
That makes me feel better
local,
about the astronaut so. Outer space beach band that didn't really
you
exist.
Cannot redeem yourself
it's
from that.
It's not just me.
No.
Oh, shit. That was really bad.
But yeah, let's talk about some upcoming events. Liz, how about you go first? I know Chris and Cody have been looking on the computers. And Roger, if you have anything, we'll get to you. Just, you know, be thinking about it right now. But Liz, take us off.
I know you wanted to talk about that kegger at your house, so we'll get to that.
Yeah.
On September 5th, the Akron Farm and Flea will take place indoors and outdoors here at Musica. Out in the parking lot, and the cafe next door will be open. That's from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and the art walk will also take place that night. That is the first Saturday of the month, so the art walk will take place starting at 5 that evening. And right here in Musica, the I'm Pretty Fly Jeff Goldblum portrait painting party will happen, which is being organized.
What is this?
Oh, my God, that's
this
awesome.
This is real.
Is this serious?
Yes.
I'm
maybe.
Coming.
Yes.
Yeah,
Jen,
me too.
Okay, so Jen from Smart Studio Akron, along with Sarah Edwards and myself, are organizing a Jeff Goldblum portrait painting party called I'm Pretty Fly. Put that together right here in Musica. So what you want to do is there is a Facebook page for it. Again, I'm
we'll
Pretty Fly,
it.
Jeff Goldblum portrait painting
find
party. There's
going to
be one
Akron.
Facebook event page for that and one only, I promise you. So at any rate, you can sign up ahead of time. You pay in advance, and then Jen will have an easel and all your painting supplies and everything set up for you, including like an etched out version of like Jeff Goldblum that you will paint. So there's three different portraits you can paint of him. That's going to be really fun. The bar and Musica will be open, and the art walk goers, the people attending, can actually watch you do it. They can walk through Musica as part of the art walk and watch this happening and watch people doing it. And then there will be some fun projects for them set up here in here as well. There's going to be some paper on the wall, and they can paint and do a sort of public something or other of their own. That's going to be really fun. So that's September 5th. There's lots of, while the weather's still nice, everybody, lots of local bike tours and walking tours going on. There's Cascade Park on Main Street. If you haven't been to their events, there's some yoga on Wednesdays. There's all kinds of fun stuff at the new newly landscaped Cascade Park. So still summertime. Get out there. And live lunch concerts at Urban Eats Wednesdays at noon, of course, up on the raised deck. What do you have? I know we've got our Spoils of Akron Live coming up in September. I want you guys to know we need to talk about this, but maybe we'll play with the date based on getting everybody involved. It's going to be the All About Animals show.
Yeah, we're going to have animals right here in Musica.
It will be in September for sure. We're going to update you guys on the date, the actual date, and then we'll, of course, put that on the Facebook page and talk about it on the next podcast. But the All About Animals show is coming up in September
13th.
For Spoils of Akron Live. We've planned it for the 13th, but we may need to push that ahead. We'll talk about it. If we need to make that change, we'll certainly make everyone aware.
Okay, Chris, do you guys have anything?
I have a few things. As I mentioned before, I'm part of the Free Akron Outdoor Movie Committee. We show free movies throughout the city. So our next movie is going to be shown the night before Porch Rocker, August 28th. It's the second part of Phil Hoffman's music documentary about the Akron Sound called If You're Not Dead, Play. It's a part two of a documentary about the Akron Sound, late 70s. Early 80s or mid 70s to early 80s music scene here. And of course, Porch Rocker is August 29th all day long. On August 31st, I'm working with a small group. I'm actually doing some of the technology for this, but there's the Akron Mayoral Forum on Arts and Culture at Summit Art Space, Monday, August 31st at 5:30. So we're going to have the mayoral candidates talking specifically about this sector. There's also a little ways down the line, Square Fest, which is a arts and culture fest in Highland Square, September 12th at 11. And then this is something really cool we do here downtown, the Akron Mini Maker Fair.
at the downtown library, the main library, Saturday, September 19th. So it's really neat. 3D printers, electronics, robotics, people.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's just, you've never heard of it? Seriously? No. Oh, it's great. It's the third year we're doing this here, and it's it's part of the Maker Movement, which is sweeping libraries across the nation.
People
bring in things to make. It's more hands-on. It's more, you're dealing with technology. Some of them are crafty, more crafty sort of things. So, yeah, it should be really cool. So.
Great. All right. Cody, do you have any?
Yeah, I just got a couple. Reminding you guys, we talked about this before, was the Porch Rocker Workshop Series for the Performer's Toolbox. The final one is this Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon, and that is at None Too Fragile Theater behind Pub Rico on Merriman Road down there. And then we also have coming up the Boiling Point.
I talk about this one?
Yeah, you can talk about that one. Let me go back real fast.
Okay.
I just got one more after that, which is, what was it? Oh, yeah. Registration is open for Creative Cog for September 8th. And that is, the speaker for that one is Andrew Smith. He's a photographer and entrepreneur. So that's cool that you have to go through Eventbrite to get your tickets. It's free for that. And it's down here at Musica.
Okay, so the one event that I wanted to talk about is the Boiling Point. And if you don't know what that is, it's an event that's hosted by Wandering Aesthetics. And what they do is they read alternative plays. And they read them. You just get together, and there's usually food. And it's a free event. And you just sit around and read scripts. Like, scripts that normally probably wouldn't be put on. Or if they are, they're unique or not. You know, maybe not. They really haven't been heard of. But this one is very, very cool because it's written by Miss April. It's adapted by Miss April Helms. Now, Chris knows that name because Chris used to work with her at the Record, I believe.
Record Publishing.
And what it is she adapted the Scarlet. Pimpernel? How do you say that, Chris?
Pimpernel?
It's Pimpernel. Is that how you say it? The Scarlet
it's
Pimpernel?
Pimpernel.
Okay, and April Helms adapted this play, and it's going to be done at Antic, which is my home theater in Cuyahoga Falls. It's my theater where I debuted 3 years ago, and Downtown Mark Brown, the bassist for my band, is helping to put that on with Benjamin Rexroad and Kyle Joseph, Wanting Aesthetics, and that is going to be on Tuesday, August 25th at 7 p.m. and it's going to go till 10, and that is at the Quirk Cultural Center on Grant Street in Cuyahoga Falls. Now, like I said before, it's a free event, I think afterwards she might try to pursue it, but it's just going to be like it's an open reading, and they're always such cool events. So that's one that I have. Roger, we're going to end with you. If you have any events or anything, any shout outs that you want to make sure you get out there, go ahead and speak into the mic right now, or forever hold your peace.
So I'm having a kegger at my house this weekend. I have a keg of Arshay, and I have a keg of strawberry cherry Norca. So you all just come on through.
You can get that in keg form.
We gotta get one of those, Ryan.
I'm gonna be out of town this weekend. Can we seriously do this? Like. Because I can tell this is going to end up happening. Another time, I won't be here.
No, like, it's this weekend, so you all just come on down.
You.
Liz won't
fine.
Be there, but
that's
we
fine.
Will.
Have fun without me.
We will.
I'll be in Chicago, and I'm pretty sure I'll be having fun without you.
Wait, I'm not done.
I'm not either. I don't want to. This is on your behalf. In case you forget, I want everyone to know there is an Unbox Akron Facebook page that you can go on
Thank
and
you.
Like. It's awesome. I liked it today. I posted it. If you have any trouble finding it, I did post it, the link for that Facebook page on both the Spoils of Akron Facebook page today and the Urban Eats Facebook page. So definitely like that page.
Well, thank you, because
so
I was going to say that. Yes.
That's what you were going to say?
I stole it? Yeah, you did steal it. But
well, you'll say
it
so
sounds
much better
coming
no,
from you.
No, you'll say it so much better. Go.
So Liz said, what Liz said, and then just shout out to my mom. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. And all my folks down in Macon. Thanks for listening. If you made it this far, thank you. And hey, I'll see you all around Akron somewhere.
Welcome to town.
Happy to have you.
Thanks for having
Lucky
me so much. Thank you
and
so
thank
much.
You, Chris Horn, for the recruit. Good job.
All right, Cody, how about you close this down, and I'm just going to strum a little bit in the background.
Strum this.
As always, the Spoils of Akron podcast works in partnership with the Akron Digital Media Center and the Akron Library with our own Chris Miller. What else am I missing?
Thank you, Chris.
It? Yeah, thank you, Chris. And as always, everybody, keep it an Akron day.
An Akronistic day.
Liz!
No!